good to be back on tonight as we continue some of our thoughts from this morning. We was talking about choices and how God made choice in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and how God chose to put his name in a particular place to make his name abide. And we were concentrating on the idea of wisdom making the choice that God makes. And that's important because when we consider the choices that God makes, literally the idea there is God picks out. God picks out. And when he picks out, that means that he decides not to go with something else. And so it's like anything else, like when a man chooses a woman to be his wife, he chooses that one, which means that he didn't choose any other. And so God himself picked out certain things. And when he picked out, that means he decided to not go with other things or other people or other places. And so I want us to continue that thought process on tonight as we will talk about that and talk about some things that God chose and how it benefits us to make the same choice that God makes. And when we make that same choice that God makes, then our lives demonstrate that. And so we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. And we kind of nibbled on that this morning. And so when we consider that particular point, it's very interesting that the Bible demonstrates now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, that's the key to our understanding, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes into the elders and those individuals who by faith actually did what God said. And so their actions was a demonstration of the faith or the instruction given to them, and therefore their actions and the command matched, if I can say it that way. And that's the key to Christianity. The key to Christianity is to find out what does God want and then apply that and then watch your life imitate or match the command that is or was given. All right, so there's a few things I want us to consider on tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, and as I was pondering this, I was thinking about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And I find it very comforting that God did not spread the spiritual blessings around, but he put it in one location. He put it in one location. So what I want us to do tonight, just for a few minutes, and you can use your blue letter Bible, whatever, if you have some passages already in mind, I want us to take notice of some in Christ passages, some in Christ passages. So you can begin looking at some of those, but I want to take notice of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, notice, where did God put the spiritual blessings? He put them in one location, in Christ. Now, if God put all spiritual blessings in Christ, how many spiritual blessings did he put outside of Christ? None. None. Now, brethren, we need to wrap our mind around that, because sometimes our speech betrayeth us, because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll say even those who are outside of Christ, well, they're blessed by God in these spiritual ways. Spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so here he outlines what those spiritual blessings are in chapter 1. What are some of those spiritual blessings that we have in chapter one that God chose to be in Christ? And when we make the decision, here it is, to be immersed into Christ by accepting the gospel, we actually choose the very thing that God himself chose. Okay? So it's important for us to think about that, because when we start thinking about other things on tonight that I'm going to bring up, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk about them, then we'll have the same consistent mentality. God chose this. I need to choose what he chose. All right. What are some things in the text that God chose for the child of God, for the Christian in Christ in the Ephesians 1? Redemption in Christ. What verse is that? Verse what? Verse 7. Redemption is where? Man, I hope I'm not about to die up here. In Christ. Okay? Forgiveness of sins. What verse is that? In Christ. All right? So if forgiveness of sin and redemption is in Christ, that means what? It's not outside of Christ. It's not outside of Christ. All right, what else do we have? We have grace in Christ. Okay. Yes, Leon.
He talks about the inheritance
in verse number 11. Where? In Christ. Okay. So God chose these things, brethren, to be inside of the Messiah, inside of his son. Why is it so important for us to get people to see that? Because that's where it is. That's where it's located. Sister Tobias, Sister Olivia. In verse 5, good, good. All right, anyone else? Anyone else? In Christ. Brethren, shouldn't we choose those same things that he chose? So he chose all of these things that we see in these verses to be in his son. More motivation for us to be those things and choose it, but also to help others to see who are outside. Hey, you want this. But why do you want this? Because this is where God chose to put it. So what happens when even our own brethren are holding hands with denominationalism? You know what they're actually saying? What are they saying? All right, go deeper than that. Go deeper than that. That spiritual blessings are outside of Christ, and that the place where God chose is not what? It's not what? It's not correct. Say again. I didn't hear you. It's not set apart. All right, sister. It's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. So that means where God put everything that man needs in his son, when members of the Lord's church hold hands with denominationalism, they're saying that this particular place is not sufficient enough. So we need to broaden it out. Brian Braswell, that's false. Why? Because God put all of this inside of his son, which means that a person needs to get inside of his son in order to be a recipient and to take advantage of those blessings. All right. So again, when we consider making the choice that God made that choice to put all of that in his son. We need to make the same choice, and we need to get other people to make the same choice. What else do we see in the text? What else do we see? All right. Wisdom and prudence is all right. What verse is that? Take notice of verse 13. In him who? Christ. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. With the Holy Spirit of promise. So in him. Now, this is a very interesting verse, because when did the church at Ephesus first begin to trust Christ? Starts with an A and ends with a K. What's that? Acts. Acts what? Acts 19 and 20. Come on, y'all, wake up a little bit. Come on now. Come on. Acts 19 and 20. When did they obey the gospel? Acts 19. That's when they began to trust in Christ. That's when they began to have all of the spiritual blessings. Paul is just writing this prison epistle to them, AD 62. So probably some, 10, 15 years later, he's writing to them, reminding them of the things that they have already obeyed, encouraging them to be focused more upon Jesus Christ, making sure that they understood that Jew and Gentile were in one body. They were making sure of those things, or Paul was making sure of those things. So he says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. And then he calls it what it is, the gospel of your salvation. So it's important for us to keep that in mind, because we understand that everything that we need is in Christ, in Christ. All right. Any other points that somebody wants to discuss concerning this? So God put all of that in Christ. So what's some other in Christ passages that y'all found? Anybody?
I always love the fruit of the Spirit. When you get love and you get joy and you get peace, you get long suffering, you get kindness and goodness and faithfulness. How much can you have?
Amen, Brother Larry. That's right. Anyone else? Yes, Mitchell. Okay. Okay. I mean, well, I'm asking the question about some in Christ passages. What are some in Christ passages that, all right, 2 Corinthians 5:17, what does that say? So God chose the new creation to be where, Brother Royce?
In Christ.
Brethren, this is an amazing thought process, because this general thought process that people have, that as long as I think good or think right, well, I'm in Christ, or I believe on Christ. Well, that's not enough. You got to be inside of him where God chose to put it. All right. Yes, Brother Royce. Great point. And if you go even further, Brother Royce, in the latter part of verse number 1, going in verse number 2, who do not what? So it's not enough just to be in Christ. Now you have to be in Christ and do what? Walk according to the Spirit's teaching. And so it's just not enough. And we know that for a fact, because we have even members of the Lord's church that are not walking in Christ like they're supposed to. That's right. In Christ. So God chose to put those beautiful things inside of his son, which means that they're not outside of his son. Eric. Okay, good, good. Maya.
1 Corinthians 1:2.
Okay.
Sanctification is in Christ.
What does it mean to be sanctified? Meaning to be set apart. What sanctifies us? There's a few things. All right, the word, John 17:17. What else sanctifies us? What sets us apart? God's truth. All right, anyone else? You gonna go to it? Help us out, preacher.
Romans
What verse is that? All right, good, good. Anyone else? Yes, Miss Sister Tony. The gift of God is in Christ. Kayla. Okay. So Michaela says we have an inheritance in Christ. It's interesting that one has to be baptized into Christ in order to receive what? That inheritance. So the inheritance is offered to all men. We know that because of Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3 and 4. So salvation has been offered to all men. We know that. However, in order to take advantage of the inheritance, that which has been passed down to us, one has to be inside of his son. Okay, inside of his son, Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Yes, Emily.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
Now, it's interesting that she brings up the Galatians 2, verses 2, really 12 through 16 text. Because there's the contrast, brethren, between the law system of Moses and the law system of faith, the faith. So he's not talking about one's personal faith. He's talking about the system of faith. And we demonstrated that this morning a little bit. So God's system of faith is inside of his son. And those of us who are inside of his son have the responsibility of going out, demonstrating that to the world. Leon, Mary, and then Josh. Who else had their hand up over here? Mark? And then Mark. Yes. All right, good, good, good. Josh. Or Mary, I mean. Josh.
So John 1, it doesn't say it's in Christ, but we read in verse 14 that Christ is full of grace and truth. And then later in verse 17,
that's a great point.
Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But couple that with 2 Timothy 2, 1.
That's a good point.
You therefore, my son, being strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Great point, Josh.
I would say grace and truth.
Good. Good, 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 good. So notice, God chose to put grace where? Inside of Christ. Yes. So now, watch this. So you got the Second Timothy 2, verse 1, right? Now drop down to verse number 19. Second Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Second Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. One cannot continue in sin and believe that favor will abound. Grace is favor. It's favor that we have because of Jesus Christ. All right, John 1:17. So we have all of these ideas. So I believe we have the idea of what we're trying to get across is that we understand that God put all of these spiritual blessings inside of the location. Here it is that he himself chose. He chose that. So what about worship? What did God put in worship? Did God choose it? Or do we, like some people say, well, I want to use my talents for the Lord. And so I'm going to use my talents for the Lord, Brother Royce, and I'm going to offer to God what I believe my talents will offer unto him. As if we have a right to choose what we're going to offer to God. Brian, you had your hand up.
Well, I think to that point, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In chapter 3, the end of chapter 3, unto him be glory in the church. We are the church by Christ. There's your glory, there's your workmanship, there's the authority behind it. In order to glorify God, it has to be through Christ, by the church, in Christ, all that kind of synonymous with working together. Those works there are defined either by God as good or not. So it's important we understand we operate in Christ.
Good. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Yes, sir, Brother Eric.
I was going to say, when we pray at everything in Jesus' name.
That's right. That's right. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I was thinking about this and how it is, if we're not careful, it's so easy that when people are talking to put things that God chose to put inside of his son outside of his son. That's not fair to God. It's not fair to God at all. And so in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him. Now who's the him in verse 20 and also in verse 21? Who? It's God the Father. Yes, it's God the Father. To him be glory where? In the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So notice, where did God put the glory? God is to be glorified in the church. So how do we harmonize that with Matthew 5 verse 16? How do we harmonize those passages? Say again. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 5 16. To him, God, be glory where? In the church. How? By Christ Jesus. Okay? So if I'm in Christ Jesus, living the life that I'm supposed to live, then God will be glorified inside of the church. Can God get glory outside of the church? Well, let's see. Matthew 5, 16, who has that?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
So where's the glory being done? Inside of church, outside of the church? Say again. All right, Tobias said outside. Anybody else want to go on the other side of that? Say again?
To the outside.
Oh, you say to the outside. You didn't say the outside. Okay. You got to speak up. I had you on the other side. I thought somebody else was going to take the other side of that debate. All right, so here the glory is being done on the inside, but those on the outside are able to do what? See it. That's interesting, especially how we started last week, John 13, 34 and 35. Men shall see your, the world may know that you are my disciples by what? Love you have one for another. And so God chose to be glorified inside of the church. What a beautiful opportunity we have to glorify God together and allow those on the outside to see it and then make a decision whether or not they want to be part of it or not. All right. Any other comments?
Yes, I think we need to consider fellowship and support, which we find in the church, and that where else can you find it?
Excellent comment. Fellowship and support. Royce, you had your hand up.
I remember years ago, and I wish I could remember
the second person in this debate, the brother Roy Beaver, devoted to the debate many years and years ago, and I believe he was with the Christian Church, and he said, and he called himself right in the middle, that you can't worship in vain. But yeah, you can too, because Matthew 15, Jesus point blank said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
That's right.
Our worship within the church has to be in accordance with what God specified.
That's right.
And that's the only place you're going to find it, by the way.
Anybody want to comment off of that? Yes, Jamie.
If the world is influencing the church,
mm.
the church can't influence the world.
It really becomes a vicious cycle when the world influences the church. And I mean, we're seeing the fruit of it right now. let me prove that. Many people don't even trust religion because of the infiltration of the world in the church. And so because they don't trust religion, why run to it? For Brother Larry's point, fellowship and support. Now, we're looking for fellowship and support in all types of areas of life. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here the church was doing some very horrific things. And Paul was pleading with the brethren here at Thessalonica to be pure, to be pure. And for some strange reason, even members of the Lord's church believe that they can defraud one another and still be holy. What do I mean by that? Well, you have people living together, they're not even married. And they don't see anything wrong with it. As a matter of fact, they'll come to worship and they won't think anything of it and sit right along next to us. And they're living together as like their husband and wife. And they'll see nothing wrong with it. Watch this. Finally, then, verse 1, brethren, we urge you, exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God. You see the word walk there. For you know what commandment we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Now notice what God's will is. God's choice right here is your sanctification. God chooses for his people to be set apart. Okay? That's his will. That's his desire. Now notice what Paul says, that you should abstain from fornication, the New King James renders sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passions of lust. Notice, like the world does, he says, like the world does, he says, the Gentiles who do not know what? They don't know God. So where did God choose to put sanctification? He chose to put it in his will. What is his will? That everyone be sanctified or to abstain from fornication or sexual immorality. who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. But God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject men or man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. And so here we see that God chose sanctification, holiness. And remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1 and following? 1 Corinthians, let's look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and following. And this is something that, I'll just be honest, Mike Bonner needs to do a better job of preaching. I need to mention it more, I guess. So people don't get too comfortable, because we live in a world where God chose to put the beauty of the sexual relationship inside of marriage. That's where he put it. And unfortunately, we have a generation amongst us, and I'm not talking about the younger generation, I'm talking about my generation, who taught this generation that we see now that apparently it's okay for people to live together and act like they're married. And so notice what he says, now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of fornication, let each of you have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. So God says, okay, I'm gonna take care of this. This is where I choose to put it, in marriage. And so, brethren, these are things that we have to constantly be aware of. Young people, be aware of this. Don't put yourself in situations. Why? Because if you do, the next thing you know, you'll find yourself not pleasing God where sanctification is, where holiness is. Anybody want to make any comments off of that? Or is that taboo and we need to keep running? So God chose to put it in marriage. That's what we ought to choose. And we need to choose what God chose. God chose it. Let's choose what he chose.
Anything in his word.
But specifically, we're talking about this, so I don't get off track on that. But you're right. But that has to be in the forefront because Brother Lee and I, we were talking the other day, and we were talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and how when one sins, especially when it comes to fornication, they're sinning against what? Their own body. You see? So it's very important. It's very important, young people. Tobias and then Sister Tony.
Great point.
Tony.
Pretty much on the same line is that we know that when the Bible repeatedly warns about something, it's important. Not that it's not all important, but you know what? It's more
yes.
A problem with men, with mankind.
Yes.
And we as parents and grandparents need to realize that and stress that from probably younger ages than what we ever saw. What Tobias was talking about, all the secular things that they hear now at early, early ages.
That's right.
So unfair to the children.
That's right.
But we have to remember to start that training and teaching early.
That's a great point. Josh, and then Maya, and then Jamie.
Just to back what Tobias said, I think the ease of access of social media and entertainment, whatever you can get our hands on, especially speaking for my generation, I guess, we're very easily, or I think that social media and entertainment has perverted how we view what is proper for a couple or for a dating or courtship, whatever you want to call it. I think it's perverted what we see as proper and what is right.
Good. Maya.
I was just going to say that Brother Tobias and Sister Tony's comment made me think about something you used to tell us growing up, which was, I'm trying to censor and protect what you put in your mind now so that you're not dealing with it in your marriages later. And it's interesting how you don't recognize that when you're younger, you're putting these things in your mind and you're exposing yourself to these relationships, and then you marry someone and you don't realize how much those things still enter into your mind when you're with the person you're supposed to be with for the rest of your life. So for younger people today, the things that they see on social media or on the computer and the relationships that they interact with, they have no idea how much those things are going to stick with them when they get married.
Excellent point. Jamie.
And then they actually do get married. Nothing, they don't think anything's going to change, but it should. It's supposed to change.
That's right.
And so it just kind of starts on such a rocky foundation.
So let's bring that this conversation to our marriage with Christ. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul has always wanted his people to be faithful. And remember, Paul was telling the church at Thessalonica, don't defraud your brother. Don't put your brother and really the brethren in a position where their salvation is going to be removed from them by putting them in vicarious positions that their spirituality is hanging on the balance. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband in order that I may present you as a what? Chaste virgin to who? God wants us as the body of Christ. And remember, we're members in particular, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12, and also verse 27. And as a group, we need to be holy. But as individuals, we need to be holy, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. But he wants to present us as a chaste, meaning a faithful one to Christ. He said, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is where, Brother Royce? In Christ. And really the word simplicity, and this is so important as it relates to the subject we just finished talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and following, and this particular text right here. This simplicity is not talking about the easy things. The word there literally means single-mindedness. So I'm single in mind. And so I'm betrothed to one husband. I'm faithful to one husband, one wife. I'm faithful to one who God chose, Christ. He's my Lord. Which means that when I make a decision to put my hand to the plow to follow Jesus, I can't be putting my hand to any other plow. I got to be focused, single in my vision. And when I'm single in my spiritual vision, then Christ is the one who is my master. He's my Lord. He governs me. He tells me what to do. I don't tell him what to do. And so God chose to make him our Lord, our master. And so we need to make the same choice to be single-minded as he is toward us. We need to be toward him. Verse number 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That's a scary thought, but anyway, we'll bypass. But think about this, brethren. When we stop and we consider our faithfulness, God put that in Christ, no wonder we see the world going haywire now. People are losing their minds, spiritually speaking, looking for something to ground them. God gave one grounding, brethren. It's the Word of God. This grounds us. And the more I think about that, when we become elevated in our thinking, lofty, then we need something that's going to bring us down. That's the Word of God. And when we become depressed and downtrodden, now we're too low. We need something that's going to bring us up to solid ground, the Word of God. That's right, the Word of God, the Word of God. And so God chose to put that all in His Son, all in the Word. And so anytime we start drifting away from this great book, the Word of God, brethren, we find ourselves in trouble. And so, again, this is something that we need to consider. Any comments? Any comments? Josh, Brian, and then Eric. Josh, Brian, then Eric.
Since God compares our marriage with Christ with an action, or would you compare this marriage to the relationship we have?
Yes.
With Christ?
Yes.
Hebrews 13:4 says, yes. Marriage is honorable among all, in the bed and the cloud, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge.
That's right.
Metaphorically speaking, it applies to our.
You're 100% right. I'm going to take it a little bit further, okay? But you're 100% right. Metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking. But you're right. You're right. Spiritually speaking. Evelyn and I was talking between the break, and she said something that really captivated my thought process, and it was, we need to do a better job of thinking spiritually. Sometimes we address things so carnally. Carnal doesn't mean sin. Carnal means that you are addressing this or looking at this from a physical perspective, just like Nicodemus. Nicodemus wasn't in sin because he wasn't looking at it right. He just wasn't looking at it spiritually, and Jesus had to check him on it. And then he started to see things a little different because we see it in his lifestyle later on. And so we need to do our best to think about spiritual things, Colossians 3:1-4. And when we do that, then when we're addressing the scriptures or approaching the scriptures, now our thinking is higher. But if we take our selfish or unlearned or physical thinking to the scriptures, then we're going to receive those type of results. Okay. Brian and then Eric. That's right. That's right.
And it's talking about those who by nature do evil things. They corrupt themselves. They walk away from all these laws. They don't practice marriage. They practice fornication. You ever thought about what life would look like if you didn't have law from God? If we were just like brute beasts. The word brute is interesting because it means like absurd in reasoning, void of reason. Well, that's what animals do. They don't reason. And that's the way mankind is acting. Acting animalistic, and they'll continue to act and have this kind of animalistic behavior. And Paul talks about that again in Romans 1:21-22, same characteristics. When they knew the Creator, but they worshiped Him not or turned Him into four-footed beasts and so forth,
that's right,
and served the creation rather than the Creator, they started acting like a brute beast.
And people are acting like that. And it's interesting, the Greek word for brute is alagos, if I'm not mistaken, which you have the negation in front of logos, which is reasoning. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and so the Word became flesh. And so God doesn't want us to be a people without reason. Eric.
I was just going to say that, you know, keeping that man that's in the grave that we died in, and we're a new creature, he tries to come back, and you have to have that high moral for who you are and remember who you are so that won't come back. So I think of having that high moral awareness that, you know, who I am is, I'm very blessed. I mean, I'm so blessed that I can't let that man back because, man.
None of us can.
I can't. It's just no way that I'm just so blessed to be where I am right now. And I had a lot of things test me, but it's just say that I'm just glad to know how to step on that grave and make him stay, you know, where he belongs.
Appreciate that. All of us have to, and Eric, when I know you're speaking of yourself, but really hopefully you'll speak for all of us when you say that, because every last one of us have to make our mind up that the man is going to die. That old man, every morning you got to wake up and say, that old man's dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 31, if he doesn't die every day, he will be alive that day and he will cause you havoc. He will cause you havoc. And God chose us to be dead in his son every single day. So Paul said, I die daily. And so keep that in mind. I want to circle back in the last 9-10 minutes we have to the point that Brother Royce made concerning worship. Because Brother Royce, with everything that we just finished talking about, if we don't depart from those things, can we worship God in spirit and in truth? No. And I find it just amazing how people can live in sin and think that they can fall up into a worship building, a church building, and worship God as if they are in connection with God. Brethren, look at John 4. In John 4, God is looking for something. God is looking for something. He is looking. And he's still looking to this day. God is still looking for something. Okay? In John chapter 4, verse number 23 and 24. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father is seeking. He's looking for true worshipers. Well, what's a true worshiper? Well, a member of the Church of Christ. What's a true worshiper? It's a good conversation. What's a true worshiper? What's a true worshiper? Miss Mary said, one who worships God in spirit and in truth, basically. Faithful? What's faithful? One who chooses what God chooses. Okay, what does that look like? Following the commandments of God. Okay, anyone else? All right. Being faithful like he is. I'm being very general.
The opposite of fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended.
Okay.
That's the opposite.
Okay. Okay. So if we're going to worship God, we must worship him in spirit. That's our attitude. So we have to have the right attitude. So if I have an art with my brother, what should I do with my gift? And do what? Oh, go to another congregation. It's okay. That's an amazing mentality right there. Well, I don't get along with them brethren. I'm going over here as if God looks at that. Leave your gift at the altar. Go reconcile with your brother. Come back and offer your gift. You know, that's worshiping with the right attitude. God is always concerned about the relationship. Vertical and what? Horizontal. Now we bypass that, and I'm talking about not us, but we bypass that sometimes. Well, we just don't see eye to eye. But is there an art between y'all? Is there something between y'all? Because if it is, it needs to go away. Why? Because God put true worship in his son Jesus Christ, which requires the right attitude, spirit, and in truth. What does it mean to worship God in truth? We know, according to the right standard. So when we stop and consider this, God made a choice to make sure that if we're going to worship him, he chose that we do it in spirit, right attitude, and in truth, the correct standard, which means that I can't worship God from a will worship perspective, a vain worship perspective, and what's the last one? Ignorant worship perspective. All right, Tobias. Unless that attitude is being displayed in an unruly fashion, and then we take care of that. But yes, you're right. Yes.
You know, and we're very blessed because we don't have to worry a lot of that at 9th and 8th. I'm not saying that people don't sometimes have awe. They go, I think we're the type that we all believe the truth. You know what I mean? It's taught to us, always our preachers to us. We've never seen one that steps out and does it.
That's right.
And it's very important because when you're at the congregation, if you have that, you very rarely are going to have aught with your brother. Now, there might be a one that you go to somewhere else, in, like, say, San Angelo, and that you have aught with your brother, and you go to that brother, and that doesn't change how that brother's being. What are you supposed to do?
That's right. Go to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Jessica. Yep.
Which says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand.
That's right. That's right. That's right. He's seeking. He's looking. And he's still looking. Now, one thing that I love about that picture, and it's just my little finite mind, not much to it, but it is what it is, Royce, right? I'm sorry. But, To see that God looks at the spirit of man as they're worshiping him. And Jesus on the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 2:12, worshiping right along with us. It's an amazing thought that God sees who is spiritual and who is not. And this is why I appreciate Brother Dustin this morning reading as all of those passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through the end of the chapter, because we get the opportunity to judge ourselves. What a beautiful concept that God chose to put inside of Christ, inside of worship, judgment. Who? Yourself. There's your point right there. So God wants us to judge ourselves during the Lord's Supper, remembering his death, and when we do that, then we're well-pleasing to him. And I look at that this way, and my interpretation of that is God, because he loves us so much, gives us an opportunity to judge ourselves. So on that day of judgment, we've already done the work. Now we're just going to hear, well done. Brethren, I know that that's a powerful thought process, because how many people go days, ends, months, years without even examining their own life? Well, I haven't even thought about it. Why not? Why not? And so a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, really have no excuse every single Lord's day, first day of the week, where God chose to put it, judge yourself and get it right. That's how much he loves us.